Good morning. I'm happy to be here today, and I hope you are too. May the Word of God always ring true in our land. Amen. Do you really want to go to heaven? Now, that's a strange question. Most of you are here thinking, well, I'm here, aren't I? I'm here worshiping to praise God. That should show that I'm interested in heaven. But did you know that the Scriptures teach the majority of people will not go to heaven? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many there be who go in thereat. But the gate is narrow and the way is easy that the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who go in thereat are few." So Scriptures teach the majority will not find their way to heaven. It's not because God doesn't want to save man, for God desires all people to be saved. Peter, in talking about how God is faithful to his promises and the promises of heaven, says, "For the Lord is not slow concerning his promises, as some men count slowness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants all people to be saved. If I'm not saved, then I will be eternally separated from God forevermore, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. So why will most people miss heaven? Why will most people not go there? It's because of their desire is elsewhere. Their desire is upon things up on the earth. I mean, why should I lose heaven after God has made provisions for me to go to heaven? Do you remember what he said in John 3, 16 and 17? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world by him might be saved." God desires that we are all saved. He has made provision for us to be saved. So, how sad and the greatest tragedy man will ever face will be because he has forsaken God. Do you remember what the Hebrew writer said about Jesus? He said, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Hebrews 2, 9. That Jesus might taste death for everyone. Jesus died so that we can go to heaven. What a tragedy to miss heaven. If I really want to go to heaven, there's three things I must realize. First, I must be convinced that heaven exists. Second, I must be convicted that my sin can keep me from going there. And third, I must be converted to Jesus who will lead me there. So why are the majority not convinced, not convicted, and not converted? Those who go to heaven are those who really want to be there. I must put forth an effort. I want us to notice three things this morning that will determine if we truly want to go to heaven. First, if I really want to go to heaven, I must yearn for heaven. To yearn means to desire, to long persistently for something or someone. Why would I yearn for heaven? Because God is there. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in verse 2, we read, "Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth." Do you remember Jesus teaching us to pray for our enemies? He said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Why? He says, "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." Matthew 5, 44, 45. Remember when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray? He said, pray like this: "Our Father in heaven," or "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Thus, we know God is in heaven. I should yearn for heaven because God is there. I should yearn for heaven because Jesus is there. Where is Jesus today? Mark 16, 19 says, "For after he has spoken unto them these words, he ascended up into heaven to sit on the right hand of God." Where is Jesus today? He's in heaven sitting on the right hand of God. Well, Paul exhorted the Christians in Colossae to seek the things which are above because Jesus is there. In Colossians 3, verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God." I long for heaven because my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is there. Why else should I yearn for heaven? I should yearn for heaven because Jesus has promised to return to take me there. Our scripture reading this morning, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus promised there is room for everyone in heaven. He has promised he is coming to take me with him back to heaven. He's coming again. Why should I yearn for heaven? There are so many reasons, but why will so many people miss heaven? Well, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Why will so many people miss heaven? It says because Satan has blinded them. Satan blinds the minds of those who do not believe. He does it through luring us with earthly pleasures. So we desire the pleasures of the world, the temporary pleasures, instead of the pleasures that await in heaven above that will last for all eternity. Satan plays a part in our lives. He is out to get us. He lures us. He lured Eve away from the commandment of God to see something with her eyes that she thought was delightful and good to eat and to make her wise. He has lured men down through the centuries through our own lustful desires. Well, what is the strategy of Satan? Well, he comes at you because of what is in your heart. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death." James 1, 13 and 14. Satan knows what we desire. Satan knows the sinful things that appeal to us. And he puts them before us. He knows exactly what to put before you to tempt you, to pull you away from God. Satan comes after me, especially when my faith is weak, when I'm questioning, when I'm doubting, when I'm being concerned with other things instead of the things of God, and he puts right before me the thing that I want most that is sinful. So yes, Satan will come after me. You know, King David was lured away by the beauty of Bathsheba. Judas was lured away by covetousness. What will Satan dangle in front of you to lure you away? Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." Well, I let Satan devour me. To resist, I have to keep my eyes and minds focused upon God. And I need to put emphasis on the things that need to be emphasized. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust does and thieves break through and steal. but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where am I laying my treasures today? Am I laying treasures up in heaven, or am I trying to amass treasures here on earth? Why are people led away? Because they're not seeking first the kingdom of God. If I want to go to heaven, I have to yearn for heaven. If I truly want to go to heaven, I must learn of heaven. To learn means to gain knowledge or understanding. Paul wrote to Timothy that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 4:2. Notice that our being saved is based upon coming to a knowledge of God's Word, understanding what God desires of us. He stated that God's saving grace is offered to us through the knowledge of the truth. Remember Titus in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12? He said, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation unto all men, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." God has given us His Word so we will know how to live to please Him, so we will know how to live upright, how we shall know how to live self-controlled, how we shall know how to live godly lives, holy and acceptable unto Him. Do I really want to go to heaven? Then am I willing to come to a knowledge of the truth? Many do not have a willingness to learn. They want to ignore the scriptures. They don't want to take time to learn them. Oh, they want to go to heaven, but they want to go on their own terms. They want to live the way they want to live without even thinking about what the scriptures teach, especially commanding them what they can do and what they cannot do. Oh, everybody says they want to go to heaven, but are you willing to learn what you must do to get there? Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. If everyone wants to go to heaven, there are going to be some try who will not enter in. In Matthew chapter 7, look at verses 21 through 23. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Jesus says not everyone who calls upon his name will enter into heaven. Who did he say would enter heaven? He said, "Those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." But there's going to be people come judgment day. "Lord, did we not praise you? Did we not worship you? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many, many, many wonderful works in your name?" I mean, you would think people doing wonderful works in the name of Jesus would enter into heaven, right? But Jesus said he would say to them, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." That is, oh yes, they were doing many mighty works in the name of Jesus, but they were workers of iniquity. They were still living in their sins. "Oh, I will do everything you want me to do, God. I will live for you. I'll do many mighty works, but I'm going to keep the sins that I desire, and I'm going to continue to do them." How sad it will be to miss heaven, even doing God's works, because I want to keep sin in my life. What must I be willing to learn? Well, I must be willing to learn that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The only way I will go to heaven is through Jesus Christ, God's Son. The only way I will go to heaven is to be converted to Jesus, to walk after Him and do His will, to follow Him, to become His disciple. Yes, I want to go to heaven, but the only way I can go is through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Well, how do I become Jesus' disciple? Jesus says, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's a yoke? He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. The rabbis considered schooling a yoke. So Jesus is saying, come learn what I teach. Come hear my word. My words are easy to follow. My words are easy to obey. So if you want to come to heaven, come learn my teachings and live accordingly. You remember in Acts chapter 8, if we really want to go to heaven, we must be willing to learn. And in Acts chapter 8, there was an Ethiopian eunuch. He had been to Jerusalem to worship God, and he was returning home. And the Holy Spirit sent Philip the evangelist to go to him. And as the Ethiopian eunuch was riding home in his chariot, he was reading scripture. And Philip ran up along beside him and said, do you understand what you are reading? You remember what the eunuch said? How can I unless someone guides me? Then he invited Philip up into the chariot, and Philip explained the scriptures unto him and preached unto him Jesus. But did you know the Ethiopian eunuch learned something vital? He learned he must be baptized to be saved. For he said, see, here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized? And it says, so they stopped the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Philip baptized the eunuch. It says they both came up out of the water. And the Holy Spirit whisked Philip away. And the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. So yes, there are things I must learn to be saved. And there are things that I must do. If I truly want to go to heaven, then for heaven or toward heaven, I must turn to change course or change direction. The Bible word for turning to God is repentance. I must turn from my sin and I must turn to salvation in Christ Jesus my Lord. I must turn from the things that go against God's word and I must do what He says. I mean, we want to go to heaven, and what is God's desire for us? He's not willing for any of us to perish, but that we all come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. We can follow the world and live the way we want to live, or we can turn to God and live to receive eternal life. Am I willing to turn? You know, Paul emphasizes how we must turn to God. In Acts 17:30, he said, in the times of this ignorance, God overlooked. What ignorance? The ignorance of not knowing God. He says, the times of this ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all people everywhere to repent. God requires all people to repent of their sin. Turn to James chapter 1. And let's look what he says in verse 21. James chapter 1. James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. James specifies the turning about that is required of one wishing to enter into heaven. In the heavenly way is to receive the implanted word. When he says in verse 21 that we are to turn away, or put away, what? All wickedness. We are to put away all filthiness. Basically, we're to put away sin and receive God's word, which leads us to salvation. The scriptures are the roadmap to heaven. And if I want to go to heaven, I have to be in them, learning them, and following that map to get there. So I must receive with gladness the implanted word which can save my soul. You know, to go to heaven takes more than learning. It takes turning. If I want to go to heaven, I must turn to God. God has given us the perfect law of liberty. He has given us His holy inspired word to live by and to lead us there. Are you willing to repent of sin and turn to God as those did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38? Remember, Peter stood up and preached the first gospel sermon. And he told them how they had crucified the Christ, the Son of the living God. And many of them stood up and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Do you remember what Peter told them? Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says you have to turn from your sin and turn from God. Many had a desire to go to heaven, were willing to learn, but without changing their lives to conform to what they had learned, they would never reach heaven. But those who heard and changed and conformed, the scriptures say, so those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. As a result of their turning, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Are you willing to turn to God? Are you willing to receive the teachings of His word of what we must do to be saved? We have to first hear God's word, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe what we hear. Jesus says, if you do not believe I am He, then you will die in your sins, John 8:24. We must repent of our sin. Jesus says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. We must be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God before other people. Jesus says, if you shall confess me before men upon earth, then I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men upon earth, then I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. And we must be baptized, fully immersed in water, to have our sins washed away. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Where are you in your life today? God's calling. Jesus is calling. If you need to make your life right with God, we encourage you to respond to the front now this morning as we stand and sing.